Welcome to the Skull Splitter Dice Podcast, a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons. Visit us at skullsplitterdice.com for the best D&D dice in the realms. Enjoy the episode.
The Tiefling is one of nine core races from D&D 5e. It is a humanoid race with close ties to the lower plane. The name derives from the German word tief, or low in English. It is also believed that the name may refer to the German word Teufel, or devil in English. Either way, the implication is the same. These are humanoid creatures with devil-like ancestors. Christopher Perkins from D&D has also confirmed that the pronunciation of the word is tiefling. Let's start with some history of the Tiefling. The Tiefling has changed somewhat since it was first introduced in 2nd edition D&D. They were originally introduced as additional characters available during specific campaigns. It wasn't until the 4th edition that they became one of the core races available to players. The Tiefling originated from the Planescape setting, which is a campaign setting designed by Zeb Cook. With their addition to the core races, they can now be played in a variety of different settings. The original Tiefling was available in the Planescape campaigns and was listed as a mixed breed character that was part human and part something else. That something else was not clearly defined for some time, but it was implied that it was originally supposed to be someone from the lower planes. That was clearly visible in the character's appearance. While mostly human, the Tiefling has many visual characteristics of a fiend or a devil. More information was eventually made available that further described the history of the Tiefling. They were not half-breeds in the sense that one parent was human and the other was from the lower planes. Rather, they had ancestors long ago who were from the lower planes. This allowed them to maintain a primarily human appearance with subtle fiend-like features. In comparison, a half-fiend creature is always hideous and very clearly the immediate offspring of a fiend. The definition of the Tiefling remained the same until they became available in the 4th edition. At that time, their history was altered slightly and a bit more defined. It also meant there was more information that could be used to help players create new characters. In addition to the history of the race, new information included details about the Tiefling's horns, names, traits, alignments, and how they could be treated by the general public. The origin story of the Tiefling has generally remained the same between the 4th and 5th editions of D&D. The Tiefling was no longer considered a mixed breed race, despite having physical characteristics of humans and fiends. Instead, the Tiefling ancestors made bargains with various devils to gain certain abilities and to increase their overall power. The particular devil that the ancestor made a pact with also affects the character's subrace greatly. So what are a Tiefling's physical features? Well, the Tiefling is a medium-sized race. This means they're generally about the same height and size as a human would be. The Tiefling also matures about at the same rate that a standard human does. However, Tieflings do have a slightly longer lifespan. The standard walking speed of a Tiefling is 30 feet, and as for languages, they come equipped to speak the common language as well as the infernal language. There are generally a few visual features that are derived from their fiendish ancestors. These can include horns, a tail, eye color, and skin color. The Tiefling tail is a long and thick tail, as opposed to many other races. The average tail is between 4 and 5 feet long, and the tail is often a good indicator of a Tiefling's emotions. For instance, if they feel nervous, a tail might coil around their leg, or if they're frustrated, it might lash back and forth. The Tiefling horn is probably, though, the most distinctive quality of a Tiefling's physical appearance. Their horns can come in a variety of shapes and sizes, and some horns are very tall and straight, while others curl around on their sides. There's really no strict rule when it comes to how they're supposed to look, and they can resemble any number of animals, whether it be a gazelle, a ram, or an antelope. And as for their skin color, this may be another clear indication of the fiend's bloodline. Some Tieflings have standard humanoid skin tones. It's also possible for the skin tone to be any shade of red. Their eyes may also be red, or silver, black, white, or gold. And unlike humans, they don't have a pupil in the center of their eye. Their entire eye is just that one shade. Charisma is important for a Tiefling because of their Infernal Legacy trait. With this trait, all Tiefling know the Thaumaturgy cantrip. They can also use the spell Hellish Rebuke upon reaching level 3. The spell is cast as a second level spell and can be cast once again that the character has completed a long rest. Upon reaching the 5th level, the Tiefling can cast Darkness as a spell. This spell can also be cast again after a long rest. Each of these spells relies on charisma as the spell casting ability. Dark Vision and Hellish Resistance are both racial traits that the character receives due to infernal heritage. Dark Vision allows the tiefling to see clearly in dimly lit conditions for a maximum distance of 60 feet. If it is complete darkness, then the tiefling can see as if the area was only dimly lit. The character cannot detect color in either of these conditions. Instead, everything appears as a shade of gray. Hellish Resistance is a standard elemental resistance to fire-based damage, on the other hand. Finally, the tiefling's race will often influence its alignment. A tiefling is not evil by nature just because of their appearance. Their infernal heritage actually has no impact on their personality whatsoever, which is a little encouraging. It is the way that they are perceived by the public, though, that tends to be the problem. Tiefling are not trusted and are viewed with the utmost resentment. This leads to many tiefling wanting to live up to that evil stereotype that follows them around. On the other hand, there are many who attempt to be virtuous and as much as possible in spite of this. The tiefling is most often oriented towards a chaotic alignment, though, due to their independent nature. So what name should you choose for your tiefling character? Well, tiefling names come from a few different sources, actually. It often depends on where and how the tiefling was raised. They do not have a homeland and tend to live in small groups inside of human-based cities. They are most often found with other minority races in the worst parts of the settlement. A tiefling that is born into a specific culture is going to have a name that reflects that specific culture. Thus, when naming your character, you should keep this in the forefront of your mind. Finally, the tiefling may have a name that originates from the infernal language of their fiendish ancestors. These names are handed down from one generation to the next and are meant to embrace their heritage, as it were. Let's talk tiefling customization. D&D tieflings enjoy a wide range, and you should always feel free to be creative with their design. Their exact appearance has never been really nailed down, so you have a lot of room to work with. Tiefling colors are often red or black, which, yes, fits in with the typical devil tropes. However, there have also been red, green, purple, and even stark white tieflings that exist. Their horns are also an excellent opportunity to be real creative with it. Are they long and sharp? Are they curved like a ram's horn? Do they just have one horn in the center of their head? Or do they have tiny horns that are obscured by their hair? There's really nothing that you are married to in terms of what types of horns that you have to pick, so be creative with that as much as possible. And finally, the type of tiefling that they are is heavily influenced by what creature they originated from in the lower planes. So why not choose something really cool and unique, like an infernal ice devil that gives you insectile features, or perhaps a brutish mighty Baelor that gives you some stronger features. Let's talk about building your tiefling character. The one I see played the most is probably the Tiefling Bard. Tieflings make for natural rapscallions, and the Bard role fits them very well. Be catty, be witty, and use all of your skills to serenade your party and make devious plans in the background. Your +2 charisma bonus will help with all of your bardic spells and abilities, but that +1 to intelligence won't be helping a whole lot. If you plan on making a Tiefling Bard, I recommend choosing the Glaziab Tiefling variant. Glazia variants ditch that +1 to intelligence bonus for a +1 to dexterity instead, and this will help you stay alive a lot longer. You'll also get minor illusion, disguise self, and invisibility as racial traits. Lovely tools that any bard would be happy to have in their spell arsenal. Tiefling Paladins. Tieflings make for heroic paladins, donning the armor of virtue to battle demons both in the real world and inside themselves. Your +2 charisma bonus will help boost all of the paladin spells and abilities that you have, but that +1 to intelligence is sadly not going to be doing a whole lot yet again. If you plan on making a tiefling paladin, I recommend choosing the Stygia tiefling variant. Stygia variants lose that +1 intelligence bonus for a +1 to constitution that will make your paladin much beefier, especially over time. You'll also get the Armor of Agathys as a racial spell that's great for paladins getting stuck in the heat of combat. Another common one I see is the Tiefling Sorcerer. Tieflings can make for very powerful sorcerers, drawing strength from their infernal heritage to wield dark powers as their own. Your +2 to charisma bonus is vital to a sorcerer, as it will fuel all of your spellcasting abilities. But that +1 to intelligence, again, it's not going to help you that much. If you plan on making a Tiefling Sorcerer, I highly recommend choosing either the Glacia Tiefling variant or the Dispater Tiefling variant. Both of these variants lose that +1 to intelligence bonus for a +1 to dexterity. This will make you a bit more survivable. And lastly, there is the Tiefling Warlock. Tieflings can make for insidiously strong warlocks, drawing upon their fiendish blood that leads them to make infernal pacts with otherworldly beings. Your +2 to charisma is definitely going to help with spellcasting, but that +1 to intelligence, say it with me, is not going to be that helpful. So I highly recommend choosing a variant that can either boost your constitution or your dexterity. As you can see, the Tiefling race is definitely a unique and diverse race that's worth playing. They have a troubled history, yet they're not innately evil, and in fact their resistance to fire is an extremely useful trait that comes from their troubled background. One of the few things I think I can praise about 4th edition is the implementation of the Tiefling race and how seamless it was. I think they are definitely for a certain type of player and for certain types of characters, but it's niche races like this that I think make 5e such a replayable and exciting experience no matter how many times you return to it. Tieflings, from the origin alone, have the potential to liven up any adventuring group, and their mechanical benefits suit many different playstyles. I hope you guys enjoyed the video. Thank you so much for watching. I find that Tiefling characters are among some of the more unique in the campaigns that I have hosted myself, so definitely let me know in the comments what sort of ideas you're conjuring. My name's Patrick Ferguson, and I'll see you guys in the next Ultimate 5e Guide.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss out.